two great questions from this passage. Do you really know how much love Jesus has for sinners? Do you really know how much Jesus loves sinners? And second, are you really willing to pay the price of following him? Are you willing to pay the cost to be his disciple? Now, as we study the sufferings of Jesus, we're still just beginning. In these verses, we haven't yet reached the cross, but he's on the way. He's been condemned unfairly by the Jews, by the Gentiles. He's been handed over. The first teaching to see is why Jesus was humiliated. Now, by this word humiliated, it means put down low. He was humbled. He was made to be nothing. Because actually, what happened to Jesus, it was voluntary. It was by his choice. He was not forced to suffer. Now, we are not choosing where we were born. If you're poor, then you didn't choose to be born poor. If somebody is born with some disability, maybe they're blind, maybe they're deaf, it wasn't a choice they made. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's the King in heaven. He reigned with God, his Father, from all eternity. He chose to be born. He chose to come down low. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, I could call 12 armies of angels. They could come and free me now. But that's not God's will. He chose to be treated in this way. And it was because of his love for sinners. We read in one of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, here is the good news. This is the gospel. That Christ died because of our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried, he was raised on the third day. Why did Jesus choose to be hated, to be spat on, to be beaten, to be mocked, to be made fun of, and to be crucified? Jesus died for our sins. He chose to pay the terrible price which our sins deserved, our debt before God. He chose to bring down the anger of the Father upon himself so that we could go free. When we look at these sufferings, when we look at how he was humbled, humiliated in these verses, we should say, that was for me. He's suffering that because he loved me. And we have the bread and the wine to remind us of the death of Jesus. He hands over his body to be spat on and beaten and mutilated as a love offering for us, that our sins should be taken away. Here we're looking at our Saviour atoning for our sins. Actually, we should also remember every time, Jesus did this for his love to God the Father also. This is part of his obedience to his Father. The Father sent him into the world to save us. And Jesus said, yes, I will go. Father, I will fulfill your will. Father, those people you have chosen, I will come and offer myself for them. John 8:29, he said, I always do what pleases him. John 2:17, he said, my zeal for his house has eaten me up. His perfect obedience to the Father. That's why he suffered like this. Now, let's look at how he suffered, how he was humiliated. He was treated like a criminal. And we see in Eldoret sometimes, you know, if somebody is caught putting their hand in someone else's bag or the pocket or taking something out of the shop, we see how they're treated. Suddenly it seems that person has no rights anymore. That person has no honour. They'll just be struck and beaten and chased. And if they get away alive, then they've done well. Well, Jesus now was treated like a criminal. His clothes are stripped off him. And that's mentioned in the other Gospels directly. Here it just mentions they put some other clothes on him, but they'd stripped his other clothes away from him. He was spat upon. That's verse 19. He was struck with a staff. He was mocked and insulted at verse 20. Just for their pleasure, they said, now he's our toy to play with. Now all our hatred and all our anger that we have, we'll pour out upon him. He will become the object. He's the vessel in which we'll pour out all our disgust and hatred. Hard to be treated like that, isn't it? When somebody says that they hate you, and they'll just treat you like some piece of rubbish to pick you up and throw you out. And look how they mocked him. Well, there's a purple robe, verse 17. The robe of a king, but they're making fun of him. He has a crown, verse 17. Like a king has a crown, but it's a crown of thorns, because they're laughing at him. And they take these words, King of the Jews, verse 18. But they spit them in his face. Who were they making fun of? Were they making fun of him? Because he had claimed to be the Messiah. He's the one who's going to bring God's people to liberty, to rescue them from the kingdom of darkness and evil. The one who's going to reign over God's people. But they laugh at them and they throw these words at him, King of the Jews. But they're also, they're laughing at the Jews themselves. The Romans, they're saying, you Jews, this one, you bring him to us. You bring him to us and say that he's a cause of trouble, that he's stirring up trouble, claiming to be a king. And this is him. Is this it? Is this the best you can bring us as one of your rebels, you Jews? And so they laugh at the Jews, but the Jews were the people chosen by God. And so they're laughing at God as well, aren't they? Then we Romans, we're the ones who rule round here. And you claim to be the people of your great God Jehovah, and yet you're nothing. And we take your leaders and we crucify them. And they're laughing at God, their contempt and their hatred. And yet it was true. This was the King of the Jews. This was God's chosen King. Yet he couldn't reign now, because of the problem of sin. He had to deal with sin before he could reign. Whose sin? Your sin and my sin. We who believe in the Lord Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he couldn't sit on a throne. He couldn't be crowned with gold. He couldn't have real purple. And he couldn't have the people bow down to him. Because first he had to deal with your and my sin. So instead he had to be spat upon, and to be beaten and to be hated. Do we now worship him as the true king? Now that God has lifted him up? Now that he's come out of the grave? Now he's at God's right hand? Are we now giving him the honour he really deserves? Are you giving him the service he should have? Do you mourn? And do you weep because of how badly you've treated the Lord Jesus before now? Because not everybody here has joined the church as a believer. Are you still treating Jesus like nothing, as somebody to mock? Because we mock him when we fail to obey his commandments. We mock him when we fail to repent and believe. When we just say, let me put that aside. Let me look at that next week. When we say, well, he's king, he's the king, yes, but I'm not going to serve him as king. That's still mocking him. One day he'll come in glory and it'll be too late. These people, they mocked him in their ignorance. They didn't see that he was the Son of God. But now we should see it. The time has come that we should see, and we should bow to him in truth. Well, because Jesus was humiliated, there are results. There are things that now should happen. So we said why he was humiliated and how he was humiliated. But now let's look at the results. Because Jesus has been put down low, we can be lifted up. See, he did it for us. After we go to the grave, we can be lifted up. Our souls can go and be with him on that very day. And he'll raise up even our bodies on the day when he comes. We can know God. Our sins can be forgiven. We can serve him in the kingdom. We can be his soldiers going out to battle with sin, going out to battle with Satan and darkness, going to shed the light. But because Jesus has suffered, we must be ready to suffer. When we go to serve him, we mustn't think it'll be easy. Some teachers are saying, well, Jesus has suffered, so now we don't suffer. You know, Jesus on the cross took all our sickness, all our disease, all our problems, all our poverty, and now we don't have those things. But that's not a true teaching. Yes, the time is coming when there's no sickness or no poverty, when Jesus returns. But in this world, in this life, we have to face all those things. Jesus said, the servant is not above his master. He said, if they've treated me this way, you will be treated the same way. There's a path Jesus has made to go into glory, but it is the path of suffering. The Apostle Paul said, through many troubles, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Being a Christian is following Jesus. We want to rise with him. First, we must die with him. We die to sin when we repent and enter his kingdom. But then we must die to ourselves day after day after day in this life. We must take up the cross every day to follow him in this life, to serve him. And we can know that because he has suffered like this, his kingdom will triumph. It is going forward in the world. Our work for him is not for nothing. When we serve those children in Kipkaran or here in Pioneer, when we try and do some evangelism in the hospital like we want to do, or if we just share some tracts, if we give some invitations to come here to the evangelistic preaching, it's not for nothing. The Father has seen the suffering of the Son. God has looked on what Jesus has done, and he's giving him so great a reward. He's now at his right hand in heaven, and on earth, his kingdom is going forward. Have you met any citizens of the Roman Empire? Have you seen any Roman soldiers? Ah, because that empire's gone. It passed away. But the Church of Jesus is here, even in East Africa. And it's through the whole world. God said to Jesus in a psalm, Psalm 2 verse 8, he said, ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. That's what God said to his son. And now Jesus has done everything the Father asked, and now the nations are his. The Father cannot ignore what Jesus has done. He will give him all his reward. We are part of his reward if we're believers in Christ. He is lifted up and his kingdom will conquer all others. In these verses where Jesus is suffering and where he's on his way to the cross, we see two powers. We see the power of this world. The Jews, their leaders, but especially in these verses, the leaders of the Roman Empire, the world power at that time. But we also see the power of God in Jesus. The power of the Romans looks very great. They're doing everything they want to. They want to hit him, they hit him. They want to spit on him, they spit on him. They want to make fun of him, they make fun of him. The power of God seems very weak. Jesus is just beaten and insulted and hated, and he's going to be crucified. But the weakness of God is much stronger than the strength of man. God's power is made perfect through weakness. When Jesus suffered, he broke the power of sin. He broke the power of death, and it could hold him no more. And it could hold us, God's people, no more. God's power is now made known in us. As he breaks the power of sin in our lives, and it'd be known in us when he raises us from the grave on the last day. So I ask you those two questions. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Because it's written in these words we studied. Are you willing to pay the price to follow him? To go where he's gone? To suffer after him? We can't suffer the anger of God for our sins. He's done that already. But we can follow him and see the kingdom going forward in the world as he works through us and as his suffering is completed in us. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Are you willing to pay the price of following him? It's worth it. It's so very much worth it.